It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Just moments after Senator John McCain's death was announced, leaders from all over the world posted laudatory remembrances on social media. And others from the left and the right didn't hesitate to denigrate him, even in death. In many ways, the latter reaction serves as a reminder of how much the country has changed from the one that John McCain grew up in and defended. Partisanship and anger, even in death, respect is not given. Our guests this morning examine the contradictions of John McCain and the country he used to embody, which has seemingly left him behind. Elizabeth Sherman is an assistant professor of American politics at American University School of Public Affairs. Her piece, John McCain, Dead at 81, helped build a country that no longer reflects his values, appeared in the conversation over the weekend. Elizabeth, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
So what is John McCain's legacy, in your opinion?
You know, I think the legacy that he leaves behind is one of courage, sacrifice for country, always putting the country first, which was his slogan in his presidential race. And he took that very seriously. I think that he was a champion of bipartisanship. I think he was looking for compromise, especially in the Senate. And, you know, he was always willing to work across the aisle, as he did with Senator Feingold.
Mm-hmm. McCain-Feingold, campaign finance law.
Absolutely. And, you know, he was looking to make sure that the laws and the policies, especially military policy, foreign policy, were going to serve the best interests of the country as he saw it. And I think one thing that he really, really worried about throughout his career and fought against was this tendency toward division, toward antagonism, toward rage and rejection. I think he truly believed that united we stand and divided we fall.
So he railed against it, and yet it seems to have been a losing battle, because we are living in a polarized time where there is a lot of rage. What did he think about that as he was serving in his last years?
Well, you know, I think he had fought against it throughout his life, because don't forget, when he was shot down in the 60s in Vietnam and then served for 5 years in the prison where he was tortured and then came back and was welcomed back by President Nixon, don't forget how divided the country had been then.
Mm.
Certainly, actually, the tide, by the time Nixon was in office, the tide had already turned against the war. So there were massive, massive demonstrations, not to mention the fact that there was a huge divide in Congress, which gained strength over the war, and eventually Congress ended the war. So, you know, he saw those divisions. He saw the massive divisions that you know, were expressed in different ways in those years. So I think he certainly worried about it then. He saw the divisions that threatened the country coming from the right wing, especially from the arch conservatives and also from the religious right.
Mm-hmm.
And he railed against that. So I think he saw these threats all throughout his life, and he stood up against them. And, you know, that's been the history of American politics. I mean, what we're facing today is certainly nothing new.
So it kind of ebbs and flows, though. I mean, one could say that John McCain was a leader in moving us past the division of the early 70s to bipartisanship and to U.S. global leadership that countries around the world admired. Yes, no?
You know, yes, I think you're right. You know, certainly there were a lot of divisions that came about after the so-called Reagan Revolution and the big cuts to social programs and the increase in military spending. Certainly, you know, he was always, you know, supportive of a more robust military.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he made his voice known and was very, very clear throughout the Clinton years. I would say, you know, when he was fighting against George W. Bush for the nomination for president in 2000, you know, he was the maverick. And he was the one who was trying to say, I'm against the establishment and I am someone who is, you know, for bipartisanship, and I'm not going to go along, certainly, with the right wing. And so I think, you know, he made his voice absolutely clear and tried to carve out a different voice, a different tenor for politics. And, you know, he had so many supporters. Among Republicans, certainly, but especially among independents. Mm. You know, I think he saw that his strongest base was always there. And that's 40% of our electorate, Carrie.
That is the biggest part of our electorate. We are talking to Elizabeth Sherman from American University, and we're taking your calls, 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Steve from Sun Prairie, how are you doing today, Steve?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. You know, what I find interesting about John McCain, and I agree with your guest that he was kind of a maverick and he spoke out against the right, and many times, but one of the things that always stuck with me was in the 2008 election. Here you have John McCain, who your guest is saying wasn't some right-wing person, but John Lewis basically compared him to George Wallace and said that John McCain's rhetoric was reminiscent of George Wallace and what ended up with four kids getting killed in Alabama. That type of rhetoric was something that I don't think that John McCain knew how to fight against and how to fight that identity politics. And what's interesting is John Lewis has now come out and said the America's law, or the world has lost such a peaceful person. I just find that ironic. But I do think your guess is right that America kind of passed him by and McCain didn't know how to fight that battle.
Thank you very much for that, Steve. McCain was kind of complicated, Elizabeth. I mean, he in 2000 he came out against evangelicals. He said that they were running a business, a business empire in the guise of a religion, and lost the 2000 election. After winning New Hampshire, he lost the next primary in I believe it was South Carolina.
Right.
Okay. And a lot of people said it was because of the evangelical vote. In 2008, he seemed to have turned around and embraced that.
Oh, he did. He did. And I think what your caller, you know, was referring to, John Lewis's, you know, visceral reaction when he saw that John McCain in 2008, although, you know, yes, let's always remember he said country first, he very often put ambition first. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a lifelong ambition to be president. And in 2008, as he himself said, he made some big mistakes. First of all, he refused to denounce, you know, the formal exhibitions at the State House and around the country in state houses using the Confederate flag. He certainly made peace with the evangelicals. He was willing to, you know, kind of make peace with the racist right wing. And later on, he apologized for that. He said, you know, I made a big mistake there because I was afraid that if I came out against, you know, white supremacy and the Confederate flag, that I was going to lose that support. And I'm ashamed of that. So, you know, obviously John Lewis would have reacted in a very bitter way to John McCain's change of heart. But why did he do that?
We're going to examine that in a moment. We're going to take a break here. We're talking to Elizabeth Sherman of American University about John McCain. We're taking your calls here. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. John McCain's legacy is not as straightforward as the eulogies that came out over the weekend would have it. He was a war hero. He was a prisoner of war, a straight-talking politician who was willing to compromise for the good of the country. And then the country changed, and McCain became someone who Donald Trump derided because he got captured. But he also, in his willingness to compromise, might have helped build the world that gave rise to Trump. Or was that just inevitable? Elizabeth Sherman is an assistant professor of American politics at American University School of Public Affairs. Her piece, John McCain, Dead at 81, Helped Build a Country That No Longer Reflects His Values, appeared in the conversation over the weekend. We're taking your calls on McCain, and we have some here, but I want to get to you first, Elizabeth. You were saying that John McCain apologized for some of the things he said and did in 2008. Where did he end up his life in terms of looking at things like social justice and racism and the religious right and how polarized our country has become?
Oh, you know, I think that after the end of that campaign, which was a hard-fought campaign, and yes, he admitted he made some mistakes, you know, refusing to support what actually the governor of South Carolina actually did, which was to say that we're no longer going to fly the Confederate flag. He just didn't want to get involved, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
So later on he regretted that, but I think during the Obama years, surprisingly, he was willing to work with Obama. He was certainly working with his good friend Hillary Clinton. I think during the Trump years he was extremely disturbed and very, very worried. You know, he saw that that Trump was someone who was going to exacerbate political divisions, and he thought this is going to undermine American unity and American strength. And also, of course, you know, Trump ran on denouncing foreign wars. Mm-hmm. I mean, he actually took a page out of Obama's book. He'd hate to admit that, don't you think? But he said, you know, we're going to do nation building at home. We're going to have, you know, rebuild our airports and our roads, and we're, you know, it's America first. And of course, you know, that alarmed McCain, who felt that America had to be the number one leader of the global coalition of the West and the Western Alliance. And he was very, very concerned, I think, about Trump and how Trump was, you know, marginalizing NATO and willing to work with Putin and admiring him. And all of those things, you know, caused McCain to denounce Trump in no uncertain terms.
We are taking your calls about John McCain this morning, 800-642-1234. Peter from Madison, welcome to the program.
Hi. I totally respect John McCain's service in Vietnam, and I'm glad he went there and represented us and thankful for his service. But if you look at what he did as a politician, every single war the U.S. was in or could have been in, he promoted it. He wanted to send troops there quicker and in bigger numbers. We're really fortunate he did not win the campaign against Obama, because we'd probably be further involved in Syria and Afghanistan right now. And if you look at his politics, he wanted to spend more money on the military. He didn't want to spend less money on domestic programs, just like a typical Republican. So I respect his service, but his politics, I don't really like what he did as a politician.
Thank you, Peter, for that. You want to address that, Elizabeth?
Yes, you know, I think that your caller expresses exactly what Trump said in the campaign and has said ever since, which is, no, we're not going to be involved in these foreign wars. We're going to bring the troops home. And as he said, certainly in 2008, remember, John McCain supported the Bush surge in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
Which was very, very unpopular, but even though he was running for it, he supported the surge. But I also think that it's worth remembering that John McCain was certainly someone who could say, I was wrong. And, you know, in recent years, he did say the Iraq war was a mistake, the invasion, the shock and awe.
Are you there, Elizabeth? Okay, we seem to have lost Elizabeth Sherman, But we are taking your calls about John McCain, actually. 800-642-1234. You could also email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Elizabeth, are you back?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. You were saying?
I think that John McCain was willing to say that the Iraq war was a mistake. Now, as far as Afghanistan is concerned, I think that, he very much was worried about the rise of al-Qaeda and that the Taliban would take over and, become a fierce, implacable foe of the United States and generate terrorism. So as far as Afghanistan is concerned, I think he probably was in favor of fighting and defeating the Taliban. He was one to defeat them, not to have any kind of a peace agreement that he didn't feel would stay permanently.
We looked up the George Wallace thing, and what John Lewis said is that George Wallace never threw a bomb, he never fired a gun, but he created the climate and conditions that encouraged vicious attacks. Was that an unfair statement? Did John McCain also perhaps help create the climate and conditions that we have today, or was Lewis being completely unfair on that?
I think it's really hard to say. I'm not sure when he said it, because as I said before, Carrie, John McCain pretty much was willing to make peace with his antagonists, on the religious right and on the right wing. And so, throughout that campaign, I think he recognized that if he was going to win throughout the South, which he had to, and if he was going to get Southern voters and voters and Republican voters all across the country to the polls, he was not going to be able to, talk about bipartisanship or, peace, love, and coming together. So it's possible that John Lewis was reacting to that. Certainly, I'm sure John Lewis reacted to the fact that, as I said before, McCain refused to denounce the use of the Confederate flag.
We are taking your calls in the next few minutes for John McCain. 800-642-1234. Phil from Green Bay, welcome to the program.
Good morning to both of you. I take an early walk in the downtown area, and when I passed the courthouse this morning, the flag was at full mast. And then I looked at various businesses in the area, and it was the same. I did not always agree with Mr. McCain, but I respected the man.
Right.
And he gave 5 years of his life in a prison for this country. If we can't take the time to lower the flag in honor of this man, there is something wrong with this country.
Phil, I thank you very much. I will agree with that. That we need to have flags at half staff when somebody of this stature dies.
I'm so actually moved by your caller's remarks, because I think that I think there is a strong sense that the country needs to honor this man who never really looked for fame and fortune, who tried to do his best as he saw it, who made mistakes throughout his life for sure, but I think it's unbelievable what he endured. I think he could have been released. He was offered to be released.
Yes, and he said no because his men weren't being released with him.
And he refused. I think, the people that honor him so much were those who served with him in the Navy. It's appalling to me to hear that in
Elizabeth keeps going in and out. We've got a couple of emails and phone calls. Matt Powers emailed to say that the fact that the Republicans give Donald Trump a pass for criticizing the legacy of John McCain is an indication of how far off track things have gotten for the Republican Party. Elizabeth, you back here?
Yes, I am. I think I'd have to agree with that. I think that a lot of people are following Trump, do or die. And, he made those remarks that says, I don't like people who are captured. Well, You know, to say John McCain wasn't—he said John McCain was not a hero because he was captured. That doesn't make him a hero. What about the people who didn't survive captivity? What about the people who died in captivity? What about the people who died on the battlefield? Were they heroes? You know, certainly these were people who stepped up and you know, were part of the armed services to defend the country. And certainly John McCain was a great hero. But the fact that Trump has dismissed him out of hand and has denigrated his service and has, just said that, you know, he wasn't that great in an American or any of these things. And the fact that so many people are willing to say, yeah, Trump is right on that, really shows how far we've come, that this man who was, you know, obviously an incredible, courageous hero and someone who, who had the respect and admiration of so many Americans. The fact that people really are willing to denigrate him along with, and, you know, because Trump does, is just an appalling development.
Elizabeth, thank you very much. Elizabeth Sherman is an assistant professor of American politics at American University's School of Public Affairs. She has been with us today to suss out the legacy of John McCain. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Carrie.
It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.